Hey, this is Chris, and welcome to Popcorn Finance, where we discuss finance and about the time it takes to make a bag of popcorn. Just want to hop on here really quick before I start the episode and just let you know, this interview you're going to hear, it was with me, Rob, and Chris. It was recorded live at FinCon in Dallas, Texas at the really cool, like, VW Bug recording studio they had set up, but we were, like, right in the middle of the floor. So there's actually a lot of background noise. There's a ton of people around us. So I just wanted to apologize, give you a heads up in advance that there is some background noise. I did my best to to get rid of some of it, but you're still going to hear it there. But know that the sound does get better. It kind of settles in after a couple of minutes and hopefully kind of fades to background noise and you don't notice it as much. So hope you enjoy the episode and I'll catch up with you at the end. And today I'm joined by two great guests. I'm here with Rob Eric from MoneyNomad.com. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, doing good, thanks. Great to have you here. We're also joined by Chris Hutchins from Growth. How you doing?
Great.
And before we get started, could you guys please just give me a little bit of information about yourself so that way the listeners know who you are, and yeah, just kind of give us your background. Want to start, Rob?
Sure, my name's Rob Eric, as you said, and for a while I've been traveling and blogging, and that sort of came up to Money Nomad, where I just discussed how to freelance, how to make a living while you're traveling. And so that's sort of where I've been spending some time on that blog, and just recently launched a new blog at richeryou.com. And I was a member of this year's FinX Experience, which I'm excited to talk about in just a minute.
Oh, great, great.
Hey, I'm Chris. I come here from Silicon Valley, and I have a company called Grove. We started this company to help people get more accessible and affordable access to personal financial planning and kind of comprehensive financial planning.
Oh, great.
We do that at Grove.
Oh, nice. And the reason why I have both Chris and Rob here with me today is that they were both part of a program here called FinX, and it was sponsored by CFSI, and that stands for Center for Financial Services Innovation. So I met Rob going up an escalator, and we just kind of got into a conversation, and he mentioned the FinX program, and it just really interested me. It was such a great idea. And Chris is actually going to give us a little bit of background on CFSI first so that we kind of know what that is.
Yeah, so I became introduced to CFSI when someone saw what we were doing as a company and said, oh, you've got to talk to CFSI. They share a very similar vision to improve Americans' financial health. And they are a nonprofit, and they have kind of three core things they do. So one, they do a ton of research in this space. They actually have someone on their team who recently spent time with a bunch of low to middle income families around the country, getting to know their financial lives, and actually wrote a book about it called The Financial Diaries. They also have another team of people that do consulting engagements. They work with almost every major financial institution. And then another piece of it that I'm most involved with is the FinLab, where every year they try to find eight companies whose missions align, and they actually invest $250,000 in each of those companies.
Oh, wow.
With the goal to try to have them be more successful in the creation of products that will actually help those Americans improve their financial lives.
That's great. I really love their mission and what they're doing, because I think half the battle is educating people on our financial system and what people are dealing with on the consumer side, especially those who are at a disadvantage. So I think what they're doing is amazing. And so you linked up with them through Grove, is that correct?
So we submit an application for what we're building at Grove. And what we do with a little bit more detail, we create financial plans for consumers. We actually started this not as a technology company. We just wanted to help people we knew who didn't know what they were doing financially. And we realized that the software in the industry was so bad that the only way to bring the cost down, so today the average cost of a financial plan is $2,500. And so we realized the only way that that was going to come down was to build software to make financial advisors efficient. And so we did that, and when we told CFSI what we were working on, they were like, wow, we would love to be able to make this more and more affordable, more and more accessible, so regular Americans who need help beyond what they can do on their own have access to certified financial planners and to be able to put together a comprehensive financial plan.
That's so great.
Joined them along with seven other companies, a few who are here at FinCon, and we've been working pretty closely ever since.
Oh, no, it's great that your mission's kind of lined up like that. I think it's a perfect partnership, really.
It was incredible, yeah.
And then, Rob, you're here, you're with the Money Nomad, and so what is it that brought you to the FinX program and made you interested in all this going on?
Sure. Well, just initially, I signed up for FinCon this year. I've heard about it for several years, wanted to attend, just finally had the opportunity to do it. And we just started getting these emails of different events and activities happening at FinCon, and I was just signing up for everything. I'm like, yes, put my name down. And FinX was one. I had no idea what this was. It sounded interesting. I'm like, sure, why not? You know, some sort of experience getting to go explore the city. Yeah. Sounds like fun. So I put my name down, and just when I showed up yesterday, Wednesday, my flight came in at 10 a.m. It was supposed to start at 10:30, so I just kind of Ubered over here as fast as possible. Not sure what I was going to be doing, but I got here, and it was a phenomenal experience.
Oh, and so both of you have experienced the FedEx program. So Chris, you experienced it a little bit earlier. It wasn't here directly at the conference. So you experienced it at the initial meeting between you and CFSI.
Yeah, so when CFSI announced, they run a conference every year called Emerge, and that was where they announced the winners of their FinLab 8 companies. And so part of the thing they do is for all 8 companies, they have every one of the founders of the companies go through this experience as well. So we all started off our relationship going through a FinX in Austin, Texas.
Oh, nice. And I think the great thing about having both of you here is that we have two different perspectives. So you're coming from the business side, Chris, and then you're coming from the more personal side, even though you do have your own thing, but it's two different perspectives. So it's kind of great to hear your experiences. And I know we've been saying FinX program, but could you two first tell me what the FinX program is, how it works, and then I'd like to kind of walk through your experiences going through the program and kind of what you thought and what you did exactly.
I'll go ahead and say a little bit about it from my perspective, and Chris can add on. So from my understanding, when we got there, I wasn't really sure what we'd be doing, but it turns out FinX is essentially has the goal of trying to introduce consumers and businesses to what it's like to be a member of the unbanked, is the term they use, unbanked, and really just any American who doesn't have access to the traditional financial institutions that a lot of us who have probably been a little bit more privileged have had the opportunity to experience throughout our lives. And so what they actually did is they had us team up in groups, and then we just went to different neighborhoods in Dallas, and we were given specific financial activities to accomplish in 2 hours, and we just tried to see how many things we could accomplish. And I don't know if, Chris, you have anything else you want to...
Yeah, so I know when CFSI was in the process of researching and ultimately publishing this book, The Financial Diaries, one of the interesting things they learned was it wasn't just planning that was holding some people back. When you look at people below the poverty line, one of the biggest things holding them back was access to good products. So one of the tasks we had to achieve in Austin was, you know, they gave us somewhere around $75 or $100, and they said, go do these things, whether it was load a prepaid card or try to sell something at a pawn shop. But one of them was to find a bank that you could open up a checking account with no fees without having more than $100. And so we went to 3 or 4 banks, and there were 0 banks that we could open an account with no fees.
Wow.
And then they had us try to cash a check. And, you know, we had a $5 check or a $10 check, and we couldn't find anyone that would cash it for less than $2. And ultimately, I think our $75 or $100, we ended up spending $15 or $20 on fees, which means, like, if 20% of the money you have is going into fees, it's really hard to get ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, who else would love to have 20% of their paycheck gone immediately before they do anything else?
Right. I mean, yeah, for us, exactly. We had 2 checks to cash. One was $70, the other was $15. And we paid $7 for fees for each one. So cashing a $15 check, we walked away with $8.
Wow,
you know,
nothing.
And it's like when it's already someone who's struggling, you know, anyone going to one of these cash checking places is already, you know, financially struggling. So when you already don't have much money to give away, I mean, 50% of your check right there, you know, you just, it makes it very difficult. You can really understand how challenging it is to actually get ahead.
Exactly. And it becomes a vicious cycle, because if you're constantly in a game of catch up, you can never get ahead. And I mean, especially some of these check cashing places can be very predatory and have these ridiculous interest rates that don't even make any sense. I'm like, I didn't even know you could legally charge that much interest on a loan. And these people, they have nowhere else to go because the banks aren't really set up to accommodate them and help them in their situation. I think that was one of the things that really drew me to your program, because I used to work at a bank. I won't name the bank. I worked at a bank for about 3 years, and I worked as a teller, I worked as a banker, and I got to see those customers coming in, because I was in a low-income area, and see how they struggled, how they come in, they want to cash a check, and if they didn't have an account, they'd be hit with these fees. And if they did have an account, maybe they had a ton of overdraft fees because, you know, they're trying to make it. And then it's like they don't want to put their check in the bank and then lose half of that check because they have overdraft fees. They're just waiting to just suck it all up there. So I personally can relate to this story, and I think it's a great program that they're doing there. So if you could tell me, from when you left the hotel or left your conference, wherever you were, and you went out and they sent you out into the city, what was your experience? Like, what did you see as you were out there? Did you get any reactions from people? Like, kind of what was your experience?
Yeah, so a couple of the things we did. One was we were supposed to try to pawn something. And one of the women in our group, after a little bit of convincing, felt comfortable. She had just been engaged. She tried to pawn her engagement ring.
Oh, no.
And she wasn't ever going to go through with the transaction, but she went to this pawn shop, and to just get paid on the spot, I don't remember the exact price of each thing, but they offered her, and she happened to know exactly what it was because she had just gotten it appraised. They offered her less than 10% of the value of it.
Wow.
In cash up front. And we were just sitting there thinking, man, there's like, when you only have access to this, because you can't go necessarily go into a jeweler and, you know, have credit enough to be able to work with them and figure something out, or go online and create an account or a business to sell something, you're really left out. We also went into a title loan company, and we tried to get a loan against our fake car that we had made up. And the interest rate for, I think, like a 6-month loan on our car was over 500%.
Wow.
It's just, it's like every single corner we turned, whether it was trying to reload a prepaid card or anything, other things I said, it just seemed like there wasn't a way to get anything done without spending 20%+ of what you were trying to do on fees.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how a predatory industry has just sprung up around these people who are stuck in poverty, and it's like it's keeping them there because there aren't a ton of companies or people out there looking to give them a hand to help them out. It's more like we see an opportunity, we know we can get them because they have no other options, so let's just take as much money as we can and keep them coming back to us over and over. Do you have any experiences?
Yeah, I mean, so my experience was very similar, and actually just adding on to what you just said, what I actually thought was really interesting though was it actually seemed like a lot of the customers, so we went to one of these cash checking places, but they did everything for us. We reloaded a card there. We inquired about getting a personal loan. I mean, it was like a one-stop shop for all of these financial needs. But what was interesting is while we were there were several customers that came in, and they actually had a relationship with the teller or whatever you would call her there. And they were friends. You could tell that they were connected. And this was someone, you know, who, I don't know if every week they're coming to cash their check. And it was, they actually had, they were receiving the services they needed, and they were receiving sort of this relationship. And so it actually appeared, and that was a surprising to me, as a beneficial service for them. It was just full of fees. It was just, there were a ridiculous amount of fees. And it just made me realize that, you know, what people need is they need a way to be able to access these funds for an affordable rate. And again, you know, when you think about it, if someone has $100 in a bank account, a bank's not going to make enough money off of them to make that account worthwhile if they're coming in once or twice a week to cash a check and talking with a teller. And so, you know, so how do you, I guess that was a question we kind of walked away with, is how do you make money more accessible on a lower scale? So when someone only has $100 to their name, like, how do you give them the services they need in an affordable way? Because again, $7 to cash a $15 check, sure, that's percentage-wise, that's huge, but that's still only $7. You know, like if you're paying employees, like that's really not a lot of money to put out there. So that was one thing we walked away with, just, you know, how, like there's a need there, but do you expect banks to do charity work? Or do you, you know, how do you meet that need?
Yeah. Another one of the companies in the FinLab cohort this year is a company called Dave.com. Mm. And what they do is they, for I think $1 a month, will monitor your checking account. And if they notice you're about to overdraft because they start to learn everything you're doing, they'll loan you up to $75 to cover the fees. And then you can pay it back to them. And in fact, when you borrow it, you schedule to pay it back on your next paycheck date.
Wow.
And then they actually just ask you to tip them for that service instead of charging you any interest. And they've found that if they can do it really efficiently with technology, they can do it in such a scale that even though they might be making only $1 or $2 from each customer, it becomes a good business.
Right.
And on the flip side, the bank, you know, would have been charging them $5, $10, $15, even $20 for those overdraft fees.
Yeah.
So they're saving people, you know, $15, and in return, they're able to generate enough revenue as a company that makes it a worthwhile business. So they're helping people in a way that's a good business.
No, I really like that. That's a really interesting concept, because I think we're seeing a rise of these online companies that are creating these low-cost alternatives. And I think the hope is that the pressure of these online businesses will soon begin to change the brick and mortar banks and industries that exist. It's like kind of like the forces we're seeing with like an Amazon. They're putting so much pressure on all these other companies, on Best Buy and Walmart. They're all scrambling now to try to compete with them and lower their costs to be more attractive. And maybe that's a hope. We get enough people innovating in the finance space that they create some low-cost alternatives that maybe will trickle down. I don't know. That's a hope, that maybe they make a better environment for people who need that help the most.
I mean, one service that I've actually just seen recently, and I don't bank with them personally, but it's just called Simple. It's Simple Bank, and it's actually a 100% no-fee banking service, and they have a debit card and all of that. And again, it's all mobile, you know, so you have to have a smartphone and that sort of thing. But it's the, I think that type of technology, or like what you said, Dave or Go Dave. And, yeah, I think that's definitely going to be a huge benefit to this issue, to this problem that traditional brick and mortar banks wouldn't be able to solve.
I mean, that's what we do as a company. So I'm really excited to disrupt financial institutions that have spent the last 5 or 10 years doing nothing. Our goal is that, you know, we take CFPs, certified financial planners, and we can make them so efficient. And if they become more and more efficient, it just becomes more accessible. Yeah. And so when clients of ours come to our site, they're able to get real financial advice. Not just about, you know, what should I do with my budget, but like, here are my goals. We take the time to understand if their priorities are buying a home or paying off their student loans or paying down their credit cards. And then we help them come up with an actionable plan to do that. And we get to know them. We get to know what their options are, whether their company has a 401k or not, whether they have a 529 for their kids' college savings or not. And we start to think about, with all these options you have and all these challenges and all of these opportunities, how do we put it all together and come up with an actionable plan? And I think my goal is to bring that cost down until the place where everyone can afford to have a financial plan and have one that they work with a real certified financial planner who has a fiduciary responsibility to act in their best interest. So we've taken that responsibility on. It means that we can't sit there and sell them stuff they don't need, which, you know, from a business standpoint, you know, you could argue is not a good idea, but I think the best businesses will win in the long run if they act in their customers, their clients, and their users' best interests as well.
Oh, nice. That's great. So, as we wrap up, if you could tell me maybe just in a couple of sentences what you gained from this FinX program after completing it. Your choice. Where supposed to go?
I'll go ahead and say it. I've been familiar with this a little bit. I've tried to, you know, help a few friends in the past get access to credit, get access to cash and checks even, but this was, having to do it all myself was very eye-opening. We ran into so many issues, so many challenges, and it wasn't just the fees associated with it, but it was the time commitment. You know, I do everything on my phone. You know, I very rarely have to actually go to a bank, but just the needs to have to cash a check and go somewhere else to get a preloaded card to send money, it was just the amount of time and money spent just trying to get access to your funds is overwhelming, and I'm definitely excited have companies like yours, Chris, that are making it a goal to improve this for everyone.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I just, how massive the problem is and how much we all in this industry could be pushed to work harder to try to make more and more services available, more and more knowledge, more and more education. I left with like a ton of energy saying like, how am I going to sleep over the next, you know, 10 years of my life? Because, you know, until people aren't paying these fees, until people don't have access to good advice and good services, you know, I feel like our work isn't done.
Yeah, no, that's great. I really appreciate that. And so, if you know, we're going to wrap up here, we're going to move on. But before we go, I want to just give you two a little bit of time to kind of tell us a little bit more about yourself. If you have any new projects going on, ways we can connect with you, follow up what's going on with you all. Rob, you want to start us off?
Sure. So I should just start by saying, so I'm actually just a couple weeks ago just launched a new site called TheRicherYou.com, which is talking more about the personal finance element of things. And I'm very intrigued again with sort of this underbanked population. And one concept that's kind of out there a little bit that I'm not 100% sold on, but interested in, is the idea of a universal basic income. And so actually, with launching this site, we are actually going to select one of our subscribers to get a basic income of $500 a month for 2 years.
That's amazing.
So, you know, if anyone checks out richeryou.com between now and December 31st, they can enter to win that. And hopefully we'll just also be able to introduce them to some great financial tools as well. You can follow me on Twitter at MoneyNomadRob. Or find me and contact me through moneynomad.com or richeryou.com.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah. And like I said, we run a company called Grove. You can find us at usegrove.com. You can find me on Twitter at Hutchins. And I look forward to getting feedback, thoughts, anything on what we're doing, what we can do better, or questions you have for me or anything.
Oh, great. So great having both of you on here. Again, thank you so much. Rob Eric from Money Nomad, and we have Chris Hutchins from Grove. Thank you so much. Definitely would love to have you guys on again, talk about more of what's going on with you.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate your time.
Right. Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Rob and Chris. It was a lot of fun talking to those two. And I want to give a special shout out to Teresa Small from CFSI. She's really the whole reason why this episode even happened. Just by crazy chance, I was walking around the FinCon floor and I walked right by the CFSI booth, and Teresa reached out to me and she began to tell me about what CFSI does. And I didn't even realize that they were the same organization that I had just been talking to Rob about. I was just really interested in the work that they were doing. And you know, she was actually going to be one of the guests on the show, but she just wasn't available at the time. And I think pack up and get ready to leave the conference, but thankfully Chris Hutchins was available and did an excellent job kind of explaining what they do and giving a great introduction to the organization. And shout out to Mike Wilkerson over at twoguystalking.com. He was the one who did all the audio production and that really unique setup there with the microphones out in the open sticking out of a VW bug. It was really cool. If you check out the show notes at popcornfinance.com/42 for episode 42, I'll throw up a couple of images there of the whole setup and kind of what it looked like while we were there recording. And thanks to Steve Stewart too for setting up the time slots and organizing it and allowing me to get in there and record a couple of episodes live at FinCon. It was a lot of fun. Very nerve-wracking, sitting out in the open, having a bunch of people look at you. I'm used to, you know, sitting at my desk with no one here and recording, but it's a whole other experience being out in front of the a bunch of other people. So thanks again to both of them for that experience. And if you've enjoyed the show and you want to hear more, subscribe to the podcast. You can find Popcorn Finance on any of the major podcast platforms. Just search for Popcorn Finance. You'll find it there. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just search for Popcorn Finance again, and you'll find it. So as always, thanks for joining me for another bag of popcorn. Hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.